It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I thank each of you for listening today. You know, as nutritionists, we often have parents asking us, how can I feed my children healthy meals and snack? And what about when you're on the go from school, like right straight to music lessons, or when we're at a soccer tournament all weekend? Now, those questions become even more challenging when you have a child with a food allergy, or even worse, if that child has multiple food allergies. So I've invited two wonderful experts today. Christina Swigert is a licensed nutritionist, and I've also invited my daughter, Christy Kvist, who is completing her master's degree in nutrition, and at the very same time becoming a registered dietitian. Now, both are nutrition experts. You have to say that for sure. But more importantly, they are parents of young children, and they lead very, very busy lives. So, Christina, let's start with you. Why don't you feed your kids fast food? You know, those fast food meals are easy.
Right, they're easy, but, you know, mainly because of what's in the fast food meals. And, you know, as a nutritionist, we really tend to look at the ingredients, and that's something I really try and teach my clients as well. And when you look at these types of fast foods, it's really amazing when you stop and look at what's really in them.
It is amazing. We do a lot of that, don't we?
We do. I go online, I look at labels. And when you look at a McDonald's Happy Meal, it includes a cheeseburger, small fries, and a chocolate milk. And, you know, if you think about it, that probably doesn't even really fill up a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old. It's not a whole lot of satisfying food.
It isn't,
really.
No.
And according to the McDonald's website, the meal contains 700 calories.
700 calories.
Which is a lot.
Yes, it is.
Especially for a small child. 1 gram of trans fat and 88 grams of carbohydrates, which is turning into 22 teaspoons of sugar.
Now think about that, folks. I mean, you know, you think hamburger and fries and a chocolate milk.
Right.
22 teaspoons of sugar.
Yeah, that's especially coming from the fries and the chocolate milk, for sure. And, you know, I think as a nation, our kids really are in trouble, and we're seeing more and more children in our office with all sorts of problems. You know, 65 million children have asthma.
That's a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And you know, in every classroom, there's probably 3 or 4 kids now with asthma.
Right. And it's not usually related to, I mean, people don't usually relate that to diet.
No.
They just think it's environmental things, which sure, those are triggers, but diet has a lot to do with it. 26% have ADD or ADHD.
And again, that's another thing that a lot of people don't connect the nutrition or what they're putting in the kid's mouth to their attention.
Right, right.
Or ability to focus.
Which if a child with ADD has a Happy Meal with all that 22 teaspoons of sugar, or especially ADD, that when they have the hyperactivity, that's going to make it really a problem.
They're bouncing off the car windows.
Yeah. 30% of kids are overweight.
Well, then we can really connect that to the 22 teaspoons of sugar. No problem.
Yeah. And 35% will develop diabetes.
Now, that's scary.
It is. Very scary. You know, and why is there such an increase in these health conditions? You know, most leading research experts are pointing to what kids are eating. And we see that all the time. So to put it simply, I really put it a high priority to protect my children from those types of foods, especially all that sugar and the trans fats. So my kids don't drink pop, they don't eat the french fries, they're not eating chicken nuggets.
No chicken nuggets, right?
No. So it's an important thing.
You know, I think many people now are really starting to realize how dangerous fast food and high carbohydrate processed food is for their kids. I kind of think they're starting to get that idea. You know, these are often some of the same parents that grew up eating fast food themselves. And it's kind of, it's coming home to them because they're in their 30s and 40s. And they're experiencing diabetes, or they're actually having aches and pains like their grandmother had.
Right. And I think there's an article we talked about a while ago that they're making links with breast cancer in young girls who ate french fries.
Yes, exactly.
Too. So
a 27% increase of maybe having breast cancer when you're an adult with every serving of French fries that you ate as a little kid per week, this is.
Right.
So if you ate it one time a week, it's 27% higher risk factor.
Right, which that's a big jump.
Yes, it is.
So as a family, how do we get back to eating real food? You know, and maybe the struggling economy will help motivate people to start cooking, because it really is a lot less expensive to cook at home than it is to be going out and getting food at restaurants and even fast food places.
Well, I know one of the things that we're doing, and I think a lot of people are doing this, is they're going to the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
And Christy, I mean, we haven't introduced you yet, but you'll be coming on. I mean, you just brought in a whole bag of lettuce, didn't you?
Yes, a wonderful big bag of lettuce that I got for $2 at my local farmer's market. So,
yes.
And a huge bucket of strawberries for $8. So.
For $8.
Yeah.
A whole bucket. And they're like no chemicals on these foods.
Nope.
Right. So that's a great way for people. You know, maybe families on the go with kids' activities will be motivated to pack a food from home in a cooler rather than hitting the fast food chains or even buying those packaged snack things, which that is something in the grocery store that can jump up in price pretty quickly.
Yes, and they're usually not very healthy.
No, they're not. So really, truly, most families need help sorting this out for their family and lifestyle.
And so that's one of the things that we want to do today is to kind of give people some ideas.
Right.
You know, and just think about that, because we just came from one of our weight and wellness classes this morning, Christina, and one of the ladies in the class also has a child that has a lot of food allergies. Mm. And so it becomes even more challenging. So, and that is becoming more and more common. It used to be, you know, just a few kids would have a food allergy. But today we know that 30% of the population actually has a gluten sensitivity. And if they continue to eat that gluten, they're going to have some health problems coming up in the future.
Yeah.
If not almost immediately.
Right. And for those who don't know, gluten is a protein and it's found in a lot of grains. And it's the highest in gluten is the highest in wheat, but you can also find it in rye, oats, barley, and spelt. And it really can be a big problem for a lot of people. I know I take a lot of clients off gluten.
I know. I do too. A lot of them.
Yeah.
I think I have a hard time believing it sometimes, the number of people that are sensitive to gluten these days.
Yep.
So I hope parents of children with food sensitivities are listening today, because I invited my daughter, Christy, to share her insights as a nutritionist and as a parent of Willow, her daughter, my granddaughter.
Very proud.
Who has a lot of food sensitivities. And Christy, when did you start realizing that Willow had food allergies?
Almost from the day she was born. she had a couple of good days after she was born, and then colic set in right away, and eczema set in right away. She had a irritating red rash over her body, especially on her face. She had a really red bottom, and she also had diarrhea.
But, you know, you think about this, and you say, but, you know, Willow was only being fed breast milk, right?
Right.
So how can an infant react to breast milk? You know, I know in classes and things, I've been taught that infants are not sensitive to breast milk.
Right, and I was always taught that, too. So I was really puzzled, too, because I ate only real food, mostly organic, but I did eat a lot of dairy products at that time, a lot of eggs and whole grains, because at that time I was a vegetarian and I didn't eat meat, so I wanted to make sure I got my protein in through the dairy and the eggs.
Yes.
So Christy, with how she was feeling, I can only imagine colic, itchy skin, sore bottom, diarrhea. I suppose she probably wasn't sleeping much, and neither were you.
No, that was a bad time. Not much sleep. So, and it was very frustrating because I took Willow to the medical clinic over and over because I just wanted some relief for my daughter. But there was a total lack of knowledge about food allergies in infants and toddlers. And I knew she was miserable. I had to figure out the solution to this puzzle myself.
So who would ever guess that when Willow ate eggs and cheese, or when Christy ate, not Willow, when Christy ate, and I get those two mixed up all the time. It's a thing a grandmother does. You know, when Christy ate eggs and cheese and bread and then breastfed Willow, she'd break out. Her skin would break out in eczema. She'd get hives. She'd get diarrhea. But really, through Christy's own research, she figured it out. She decided to stop eating eggs, she stopped eating dairy products, she stopped eating gluten, and really, thankfully, Willow got much better. But then, when she was a year old, we really had a scare one day, didn't we?
We did. We did. And, yeah, I will never forget this day. I fed Willow a little bit of macadamia nut butter, and she immediately broke out in huge hives around her mouth. I watched her very carefully for any additional signs of reaction, and there didn't seem to be any, and the hives eventually did go away. But 3 hours later, Willow lost consciousness. She turned pale, and her lips were turning blue. We made a frantic trip to Children's Hospital, and then we waited there until all the reaction stopped, and she gained consciousness. And at that point, I decided I needed to demand some food allergy testing.
I mean, that was really a scary day, and I think that really put things in perspective for the whole family to realize how really sensitive this little girl was.
Right.
And, you know, sad to say that the typical blood test for food allergies did not supply any additional help. And even the lady that was in our class this morning, she said the same thing about her son, who has a lot of food allergies. She didn't really get any information from blood tests. But it was really, it becomes, you know, it was your observation and your information and your research. And it sounds like that's exactly what was going on with that mother this morning. She figured it out, has figured it out on her own.
Through observation. And let me just say, this lady was a nurse, too. So she was very much in the medical community.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of interesting that a lot of people are experiencing these problems.
Right. And I think something that people need to understand, too, is that just because the blood tests come back negative, and Will is a great example, doesn't mean they don't have problems with food, because that's only testing allergies. And a lot of times they don't have an allergy. It's a sensitivity, and that doesn't get picked up on those blood tests.
That's right.
Great point.
Exactly.
So, mm-hmm.
Good point. So, Christy, what does Willow not eat now?
Willow does not eat chicken eggs, cow dairy, gluten, and soy. And I would have to say especially gluten. And, of course, we don't feed her any tree nuts or peanuts. And by eliminating those foods from her diet, she is much healthier. She no longer has any of the skin problems, no longer any digestive problems, and, of course, no life-threatening anaphylactic nut reactions.
Yes.
And she has beautiful skin. I mean, she just is a healthy, beautiful young girl, so it's
And I wish
amazing.
I had a picture of her when she was 3 months old, because you could just see all these skin...
Yes.
Yeah, I remember. And pink cheeks. And...
Yes.
Okay, so if you have a child who has colic, eczema, acid reflux, sleep problems, diarrhea, or constipation, you know, here are a few foods for you to start looking at as culprits. The following 8 foods really make up about 90% of all food allergies, and they would be milk, tree nuts, peanuts, fish, shellfish, soy, and the gluten grains that we mentioned earlier, and especially wheat out of those gluten grains.
And Christina and Christy, we have to take a quick break here. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in personalized nutrition therapy. As nutritionists, we believe elevated triglyceride levels may be a precursor to type 2 diabetes. So we recommend triglyceride measurements, you know, below 100, basically, and that's a safe range. So, you know, to pull out your health medical history and look at your triglyceride level and see where it's at and check it out and see if it's higher than 100, you know, maybe it's time that you should start reducing your cereal, your pasta, your bread, and your soda. So, because that's what makes high triglycerides. So questions today, well, let's call 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I am Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist, and today I'm here with Darlene Kavist, licensed nutritionist, and her daughter, Christy Kavist, who is completing her master's degree in nutrition and her internship to become a registered dietitian. You know, and we believe it is so important to feed your children real food. And if you want to learn more about that, July 17th, next Thursday night, we will be teaching Foods to Build Happy, Focused Kids from 6:30 to 8:30 in our Wayzata office. And nutrition educator Mary Haugie, who has 3 children and many practical life suggestions, she is a great resource, will be the instructor. So come learn how Mary switched her family from processed box foods to real foods, and she even has teenagers, and they've had great improvements in their health. And so if Mary's family can do it, you can do it too. And the class is only $25, so great deal. Call today to sign up, 651-699-3438.
You know, Christina, I was just looking at that class and kind of putting in a few teacher notes and a few other pieces of research this week on it. And it is just, you've taught that class, mm-hmm. and it's just a beautiful class.
It is a great class.
It's full of a lot of great information. It is, you know, it's actually just fun to see it. I mean,
yeah.
even if you didn't have a kid, it would be fun to go to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, again, Mary has a lot of great ideas.
Yeah, and I think it's a great for anybody who works with kids. I know a lot of people are daycare providers or teachers or school cooks, things like that. All of those people would benefit.
That's right. You know, when before we took a break, we were talking about the common foods that most kids are sensitive to. I mean, some kids are sensitive to, not all kids, but some. And those would be milk. A lot of people have dairy sensitivities. Tree nuts. Well, we know that one for sure. Peanuts. And we know that for sure because they don't even allow peanuts in schools now, as far as I understand. Isn't that right?
Right. Or I know at my daughter's school, the kids with peanut allergies have to sit at a different lunch table than the ones who don't.
Oh, okay.
So they don't, at least at her school, they don't totally eliminate. But a lot of them do.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of, and kids are sensitive to fish. You know, I know I have a shellfish allergy, so I stay away from shrimp for sure. And a lot of people are sensitive to soy. And certainly, as we talked about before, a lot of people are sensitive to gluten. And the highest grain in gluten is wheat. And so that can be problematic for a lot of people.
Right. So, you know, as a nutritionist, one of the things I really do is to really try and help parents look at these foods and help them know how to eliminate them and what foods are good to eat and put that together really so they don't have to resort to needing the Ritalin or taking acid blockers. And really what those do is just control the symptoms and not really getting to the root of the problem.
You know, I think, you know, a few weeks ago, and I wasn't on the show, but maybe you were, Christina, that there was a dermatologist that called in and mentioned that it was pretty well known that people that had a gluten sensitivities had eczema, or it's called dermatitis. Well, it's a form of dermatitis.
And yeah, the herpetiformes dermatitis.
Yes,
something
that's
is what
right.
It is.
And so I think it's, you know, and so it's not something that if you've got that skin rash, probably the cortisone cream is not really the treatment of choice. It is looking at what kids are eating,
mm-hmm.
you know? So if you can kind of take a look at that and think about it and eliminate those food stressors, it almost, like in Willow's case, and in a lot of people's cases, it's eliminated the symptoms. So let's go back to the beginning of the show. What do you feed kids, especially kids with food sensitivities? And I think that's what people are really wanting to hear today. What do you feed these kids?
Well, first we'll start out with eggs. Eggs are really difficult to eliminate from the diet. For breakfast, you can always substitute a nitrate-free chicken sausage, but what do you do when you need to use it in a meatloaf? Well, I discovered duck eggs.
Duck eggs. You know, when you first mentioned duck eggs, I thought, now, that girl's gone crazy. But truly, that is really fascinating, the research you did on duck eggs.
Well, a local farmer told me that she knew of a farmer that had duck eggs and that a lot of people with chicken egg allergies tolerate duck eggs very well. And duck eggs are great. They're larger than chicken eggs. They're really high nutrient. They're nutrient dense. They're full of great protein. They've got a high amount of vitamin D, which I think most people are needing these days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they are higher in cholesterol, which actually is really great for feeding kids,
yes.
for brain function.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
So I found a farmer that has wonderful duck eggs, and if you're looking for them, his webpage is mysticprairie.com.
So how do you spell mystic?
It's M-Y-S-T-I-C, prairie is P-R-A-I-R-I-E.com.
So, so does he deliver eggs anyplace else? Where is this farmer located?
Well, he's located in Wilson, Wisconsin, about 28 miles into Wisconsin, on 94, right off of 94. But if you look on his website, he also has locations of where he brings in his duck eggs to the Twin Cities locations.
Okay. And Christy, I think you found another kind of egg that Willow worked for her. Okay.
Yes, I tried it at Mississippi Market Co-op. They have quail eggs, which are really actually small little eggs. And we hard boiled those up and I tried them. I thought, well, why not? And she tolerates those really well too. And the girls have a lot of fun peeling them.
They look like Easter eggs, don't they?
They do. They're really colorful. They're really small. They're just a great little snack.
Huh, that's great.
So isn't it interesting just to think of the difference in that protein from one kind of chicken or, you know, duck to a quail, The protein is different enough that for many children, they don't react to that.
You know, I have to say, I also tried a goose egg, and that was also another egg that Willow could tolerate very well.
Okay.
So another one out there.
Good for you. I think, you know, sometimes it just does take a little bit of effort, but it definitely pays off. Are we okay, Dar, for time?
Yeah, I think we are.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Christy, what did you use to substitute for the dairy? Because that a lot of times can be a challenge as well.
That is. And I found Willow did not react to goat products. Actually, she can tolerate goat milk, goat yogurt, goat cheese very well. And a lot of people who are sensitive to cow dairy can tolerate goat milk for a couple different reasons. Goat milk has a softer casein curd, and the fat globules are actually smaller, so they're a lot easier to digest. So if you have a lactose deficiency, people can tolerate goat milk. And if you are allergic to a certain type of protein in the cow milk, you'll probably be able to tolerate goat milk.
Great.
So now I know that you were actually going to a goat farmer and buying a lot of goat milk.
Yes.
And but there's goat milk at Mississippi Market.
Yep.
There's goat milk at Byerly's.
Byerly's and Lum's.
Yeah. Yep.
I think even Cub and Rainbow Foods will.
Yeah, I've seen it. And goat yogurt you can find at a lot of, maybe not Cub and Rainbow, but a lot of natural stores too.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know just working with a lot of clients that it isn't necessarily true that all people that have a dairy sensitivity will be able to tolerate goat milk.
No.
I mean, you found that too, haven't you, Christine?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's worth a try because it certainly makes it a lot easier.
Right. And sometimes, I mean, I think the older people are, the more they have to adjust to the taste. But
yes.
I mean, if you know, you start from a young, I know with my kids too, I feed them foods that sometimes other parents are like, how do you get your kids to eat that? But when you start as young as you can, then they just, that's what is the normal for them. So to always try it and keep trying it, I think, if they don't react to it.
I mean, and there's a lot of different options that you can, you use goat milk. I mean, you can use goat milk and goat yogurt. You can throw it in a blender and you can put some fruit, frozen fruit with it. And suddenly you've got a shake.
Yeah.
And kids love that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of options. So I think we better take a break here. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company that prides itself on providing life-changing nutrition education. You know, if you have a picky eater, sometimes you can get kids to eat new foods by making it a party. We love parties. So most kids will like to try new foods if you take a party toothpick and put in it. You know, it's better than that boring old spoon that they're used to. So, you know, if you've got some fruit pieces, stick some toothpicks in it, olives, avocados, peas, cooked carrots, even green beans. You know, all with a party toothpick, kids love it. So, questions today, 651-641-1071.
Looking for a speaker for your next meeting, conference, or education hour? How about a topic that affects your audience both professionally and personally? Health and nutrition resonate on many levels because all of us want to look and feel our best. Nutrition educators from Nutritional Weight and Wellness address groups of all sizes on topics varying from Nutrition 101 to increasing metabolism, balancing moods, hormonal health, and restful sleep. Presentations range from 1 hour to full-day seminars and can be tailored to your group's interests. What can you expect? Sound information with real-life examples, making the topic accessible and relevant to your group. Motivating, interactive presentation styles that engage the audience. Handouts and takeaway strategies for practical application and ongoing impact. Nutritional Weight and Wellness delivers information that makes a difference in people's lives by changing the way people think about food. Enthusiastic audience responses often result in return appearances to explore other topics. Call 651-699-3438 to learn more about booking a nutrition educator for your next meeting or event. 651-699-3438.
Come to decide that the things that I tried were in my life just to get high on. When I sit alone, come get a little.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, as nutritionists, we really want to help build happy, focused kids, and we always look at the most important foods to include at each meal and snack. And we all agree that one of the most important foods really is protein. So not just a cracker, not having the cereal, but really including protein. And that's something I've put it as a high priority in my kids, even from before they're even 1 year old, when they started eating real food, I incorporated protein right away because it's so important.
And I think that is one of the major big changes for people to start thinking
about. Yes, yeah. A lot of kids don't get much protein.
That's right.
So I try and get them at least 1 or 2 ounces at each meal or snack. And a lot of times, especially my son, will eat more than that. You know.
Yes.
And I'm fine with that. I obviously, he's not eating a whole huge steak, but You know, he likes his protein. So things like meat, different types in chicken and eggs. They do a lot of yogurt, some cheese, things like that for proteins.
So, Christina, when you're saying meat, do you just, you know, what kind of meat do you do? I mean, tell people how old your son is.
He's 2. Mm-hmm. So now he from early on likes to feed himself. So he uses a fork and stuff like that. But, you know, whatever we cook for dinner, I mean, they like steak, they like hamburgers, they like chicken. My kids like fish. So I just do good variety, as good of a quality as I can get. And try and add flavor. I like to use a lot of seasonings. My son does like to dip things. So sometimes I'll even give him like a healthy salad dressing or something to dip his chicken in.
Okay.
Every once in a while he'll have a little bit of ketchup or something too. But yeah, sometimes we'll wrap it up in a whole grain tortilla and do it that way. So they like their protein.
Okay.
And you know, it's important, you know, that's a big part of building healthy bones. So often we just look at calcium, but when you think of your bones, it's a lot of protein in those bones. Their minds need a lot of protein and for good personalities. Mm-hmm. So I want all that for my children.
Exactly. You know, we had a caller that left a message and asked us to talk about Happy Meals. Happy Meals that are changed a little bit than what we said. You know, no chocolate milk, but use white milk instead. Mm-hmm. That's certainly a better option. And to throw out the French fries and put in an apple.
Right.
And so that's a much better choice.
Right.
Yes. And so, you know, and sometimes that's what we have to do, is we have to figure out some of those other options when we're really busy and on the run.
Right.
But we're trying to get people to think first before that, and think of the things that they need to, you know, kind of pack together and bring along.
Right. And we'll talk about more of those types of things.
So we were kind of talking before we went on a break about substituting goat milk for dairy products. And for some people, that really works well.
Right. And then a lot of times people look to soy milk, to substitute with soy milk. But I think people really need to understand that that's not always a very good choice. Because one reason is because of all the phytoestrogens. It's estrogenic in the body, and we definitely don't want to be creating more estrogen activity in kids and infants' bodies.
You know, I read some research fairly recently about soy milk, which they found that some of the boys that were fed soy formula actually have excess amount of estrogen in their system.
Mm-hmm.
And so does little girls that have been fed soy. So it's one that we have to be much more careful about, don't we?
Yes.
And it's kind of hard for people to believe that something like that would create more estrogens in people's body. But we know that it happens. And
yes.
I mean, otherwise they wouldn't have that research out there.
Right. Yeah, I've read some other articles a couple years ago about that as well.
But I think another thing, Christina, is that when people are dairy sensitive or gluten sensitive, they usually are soy sensitive too, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's a very hard protein to digest. Probably one of the harder proteins to digest for most people.
Right.
Which is kind of shocking, I think.
Yes. I think it gets touted as this huge health food. People usually are shocked when I tell them that that's something we should also remove from their diet if they're eating it.
Because actually, isn't it protein and meats that are the easiest? I mean, like meat protein is the easiest things for people to digest.
Right, right.
And that's also surprising for most people to realize.
Yeah, and I think people need to know, too, that a lot of soy is genetically modified. It's a pretty highly sprayed crop, so you're getting a lot of other things in there as well. And another thing, too, rice milk is not always a good choice because it's so high in sugar.
And so, yeah, and that's basically all it is basically sugar, isn't it?
Yeah.
So one good substitute could be coconut milk in place of that if you're allergic to all types of dairy. I mean, what I do and what I've done for Willow at home is I take a can of coconut milk and I dilute it with water. And you do need to add a little bit of sweetener because there is no sweetness in coconut milk. So, and then shake it all up. You want to make sure you refrigerate it so it's nice and cold. And a lot of kids just love that too.
Right.
So Christy, what kind of a sweetener do you usually put in there?
A maple syrup or an agave syrup.
Okay. And do you put very much in?
Tablespoon at most.
Okay. You don't need a lot.
Don't need a lot.
No.
Yeah.
How much water do you add to a can?
Probably for every cup of coconut milk, like 2.5 cups of water.
Okay.
Because coconut milk is really thick.
It is.
It's really thick and creamy. But something else you can do with coconut milk, too, if you have dairy sensitivities, is make coconut milk ice cream.
Yes, or smoothies.
And so give people an idea of how you, I mean, if you're not using it in the ice cream maker, I know you've done that.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you just have a blender at home and you don't have an ice cream maker?
I would add some coconut milk. I'd probably add a little bit of sweetener. I would add frozen strawberries or frozen blueberries and some water and just mix it up.
Okay, and then, you know, if you've got a really strong blender, you don't even have to add the water. You can just, it makes like soft serve ice cream that kids love.
Yeah.
And it tastes really good.
Right.
So let's take a quick caller here. Hi, Trish. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us today?
Yes, I was wondering, you were talking a little bit about healthy salad dressings, and I was wondering if there were any brands that would be good to get, or if you're out eating in a restaurant, if there's any type that would be better to use, you know. And also, I was wondering if you have any recipes. I was going to try to do a takeoff on the Mad Woman muffins. I got some almond flour and some mm-hmm. of the whey low, and mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out some kind of a low-carb recipe that I can use and kind of play around with to see if I could do something with that. And I was wondering if you have anything like that.
Well, let's talk about dressings first. And then I think, Christy, you have some ideas on muffins probably with the almond meal. You know, I think if you're out, the safest thing to get is vinegar and oil. I mean, or lemon and olive oil. I mean, that is the safest thing when you're out in a restaurant. We know that they haven't done anything bad to that because we aren't sure how they make their dressings or where they bought their dressings when you are eating at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the other brands.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's always great if you can make your own, and it's pretty simple. But as far as bottled ones, I think a really good brand is Seeds of Change.
I like that one, too.
Yeah, and another good brand is Drew's.
Drew's is
very good.
I
like that
good.
One.
Mm-hmm.
Annie's is okay. They do use soybean oil a lot, so if there's soy sensitivities, that's one you need to be careful with.
Mm-hmm.
So those are a couple I like. Brianna's, I think, is another one that's okay. My two favorites are Seeds of Change and Drew's, though.
Okay.
And okay, so now you're wanting to make a muffin that has almond flour. Christy,
right.
You've done some things like that, haven't you?
I have, yep. I've worked with almond meal. And I think that's, you know, I remember I went online and I Googled almond meal muffins or something, and a bunch of recipes came up. So you can certainly pull one off the web for that. But if I remember right, you just replace the almond meal with the flour in making the muffins. And you still add eggs and a little bit of liquid and some fat. And I think that's about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing that works really well, if, you know, you can substitute coconut flour, because actually you've worked with more coconut flour rather than the almond meal, but or back and forth on those. And
yeah.
I think that works also well. I think if you Google coconut flour or even buy Bob's Red Mill has coconut flour, I know, and they have some recipes in their product on muffins.
Yeah, and they make really great muffins, the coconut flour. The only thing with coconut flour is I know you need a lot of eggs when making bread type things with coconut flour, but it's very tasty.
Oh, okay. Is there any chocolate brands that would be better? I know you try to get as high a cocoa percentage as you possibly can, but I was going to try to throw a little bit into the muffins if I could. You know, maybe just kind of chip it up or shave it off and put a little bit in.
That's out of my league. Christina, do you use? I don't use chocolate, so I don't
right.
know that one.
I think some of the health food stores or even the natural sections of the grocery stores have some. Just read the ingredients.
Okay.
I do if I ever need something like that.
Okay. So, all right. Well, thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Yes, mm-hmm. Thank you. So you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. You know, we have an epidemic of chronic illness in our country, all related to what we're eating. You know, our kids are caught up in this tragedy, really. So 65 million children have asthma, 26 have ADD, ADHD, 30% are overweight, and 35 will develop diabetes. You know, we believe that medications are not the solution. The only long-term solution is real food. So a very simple concept, but very difficult to achieve. So if you have questions today, call us at 651-641-1071.
Give me one reason to stay here, and I'll turn right back around.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition, and here's a piece of research that I find pretty interesting. Fibromyalgia and chronic pain may be caused or aggravated by allergic response. Test subjects were evaluated for intolerance to food and chemicals, and almost half of the subjects reacted to MSG, food coloring, chocolate, shrimp, dairy products, sulfites, aspartames, lead, and Tylenol. Those subjects avoiding reactive items for 6 months experienced 50% less pain. So we have seen even better results in our practice, too, with just eliminating a lot of common triggers for things like fibromyalgia.
So that's really interesting research, Christina. You know, Tylenol, I mean, people that have fibromyalgia are taking it for pain, mm-hmm. and maybe it's making them worse.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
It is.
So let's take a caller here. We got a lot of callers about questions about milk. So welcome to the show, Amy. You have a question for us?
Yes. I was wondering about, you mentioned that rice milk wasn't a good substitute.
Well, it's really high in sugar.
Okay. That relates to my next question. I was curious about, you know, candida or thrush in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you deal with that at all?
Oh, certainly.
Yeah. So rice milk wouldn't be a good option.
No, it wouldn't be a good option.
What would you suggest for that?
Well, actually, I would suggest if you have to have milk, I'd do the coconut milk because that's an antifungal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that would be a much... And then, you know, you would only want to put just a little bit of maple syrup in there just to sweeten it up to use. I mean, if I'm using it in a shake or something like that, I don't put any sweetener in. I just put it in and put the frozen strawberries or frozen blueberries in there, and then it works fine.
Oh, okay.
So good question. Yeah. Yes, we do. We work with a lot of people that have thrush or candida. I mean, it's you need to kind of get your immune system up and working better.
Oh, okay.
It's an important thing to do.
Do you suggest mostly a diet-related program, or do you...
You know, we always recommend the eating plan first, because that's what you have to live with for the longest time. Sometimes there's a few things that help to eliminate the yeast out of your system. You know, there's antifungal type of herbs and things that work very well for people.
Okay.
But basically, you know, you don't live on those for the rest of your life. You live on your food.
Okay.
That's a great question.
Okay, thanks for
Thank
your
help. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
So we have another caller. Diane, you have a question today for us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm lactose intolerant, big mm-hmm. time. Are you saying that coconut milk is lactose-free?
Sure. It's basically mm-hmm. a fat.
Oh.
And so it has no sugar in it.
What about the Dairy Queen products, the soft serve?
I don't, you know, that has to just be a chemical mix. I have no idea what's in the Dairy Queen. I just know it's high in sugar. I mean, you know, it's really high in sugar because we've looked up the amount of carbohydrates in Dairy Queen, and it's really high.
Yeah. Could you tell me if evaporated milks and condensed milk is free to eat if you're lactose intolerant?
No, because condensed milk is basically milk with the water taken out, so it still has all the protein,
right.
fat, and sugar.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Great questions.
Right.
Okay. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, and we're discussing children's nutrition, especially food choices for children that have allergic responses to certain foods. You know, if you found this show to be helpful or we'd like a friend to listen to it, you know, you can go to our website, Weight and Wellness, and that's all spelled out, weightandwellness.com, and you can click on radio shows, and you can listen to this show or any prior show anytime you want to, at your convenience. So if you have questions today, it's 641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, if you have additional questions, Christy will actually be at our Nutritional Weight and Wellness office for the next 2 weeks as part of her internship. And I know she'd be happy to answer your questions, so feel free to call 651-699-3438 and ask for Christy Kvist.
So we've been talking a lot about dairy substitutes. You know, we've raised the different things that you can do, but I think we all should talk a little bit more about gluten. You know, gluten is a protein, and it's found in bread and pasta and crackers and cookies, and it's also hidden in a lot of other products and a lot of fillers. So I think it's something that people, if they have a gluten sensitivity, they really need to be aware of the foods that that contain that. So, Christy, how do you feed your kids now?
Well, you know, with Willow, with these gluten-free products that are becoming more and more popular on the shelves, if you walk into any natural food co-op or even like the natural section in Rainbow, they're filled with gluten-free products, but many of them are filled with processed sugar and other flour that's high in carbohydrates. So I don't buy these products very often. Willow and my other two children, Cedar and Rowan, eat real food, all kinds of meat. They love vegetables and, of course, fruit. And they especially love avocados. And I have to say, my 16-month son, Rowan, I can give him a full avocado, and he takes both hands and just shoves the whole thing in his mouth.
Too. My son loves it, too.
So I know many of you are on the go, and you're going from one activity to another, and you're spending weekends at sporting tournaments. And, you know, so we thought we'd come up with some ideas that you can either put together, or maybe you could even pick up at a grocery store, you know, near a game or an activity. So we have a whole list in front of us.
Right.
So let's start with that.
One thing you can do is cut up fruit, and a way to make it more portable is, Dar mentioned, the toothpicks, or you could make fruit kebabs. Put them in like a Tupperware container, and give each child a kebab with all sorts of different fruit on it. And that way it's easy. You don't have the peel to deal with.
Good idea. Christy?
How about apples with a little bit of nut butter for those kids not allergic?
Or even if they are allergic to nut, you know, maybe cream cheese would work.
Yep, cream cheese.
Or, hey, how about just smashing up avocado and using that as a dip?
Yep.
So you can get around all these different things. You know, I think cutting up carrots and vegetables, you know, different vegetables, or buying those baby carrots, you know, celery, broccoli, you know, bring along a dip. And we kind of talked a little bit about this, but Christina, you use often as a dip?
Like salad dressings, or make your own too, just with some sour cream cheese, and some seasonings.
Because some of the stuff that you buy in the grocery stores are not that good.
No.
And what kind of dressings do you use again?
The Drew's brand and Seeds of Change. Every once in a while, the Paul Newman's, but that one's not quite as good, I think, as like the Drew's one.
Okay.
Cheese sticks are always really easy. We usually recommend the white one, like mozzarella. There's a lot of orange and white ones too. Or another protein would be chicken. You could cook up a bunch of chicken legs or strips of chicken, or sometimes even if you need to pick up one of those rotisserie chickens and just pull it apart.
Mm-hmm. And I know you have another one that you use for water.
Yeah, I a lot of times have people put like in their big water jugs or the like a Nalgene bottle or something like that, throw some frozen blueberries or raspberries at the bottom, or even frozen blackberries. The frozen strawberries get kind of gross, but it gives it a nice fruit flavor and much better than the Gatorade, Powerade, Propel, all those kinds of things.
And I don't think people realize that all those are high sugar products.
Yeah, sugar Gatorade. Or artificial sweetener.
Yes, exactly. And Christy, I know Willow and Cedar and Rowan, they love their roll-ups.
Yes, we do nitrate-free lunch meat like turkey or ham, and we spread cream cheese on it, or we have roast beef and roll it up.
Yes, my kids love that as well. Nuts, olives, good healthy finger food, healthy fats that are pretty easy to put in containers.
And that's another one. You can stick a toothpick and an olive, and kids love that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can make deviled eggs, or you can just have, and even like, you know, you could do those quail eggs, and kids would love that.
Yep.
They boil those up, and they could peel it and have a party with it.
Right.
And we have a recipe, I think, on our website for beef jerky.
Yep. That's a great, easy, portable one.
So it's been a great show. Thank you, Christy. Thank you, Christina. And remember, food can be your problem or food can be the solution. Thank you for listening today. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-da.